I'm Adjoa Boa, model and host of the Girls Talk podcast, where I invite badasses like Georgia Smith and boxing champion Ramla Ali to share how they take control of their chaos.
It didn't become about changing myself. It became about loving myself. Going to boxing meant I loved the person I was becoming. I was becoming more confident through sport.
So next time you need to escape your everyday, lose yourself in the fierce female chat of the Girls Talk podcast, where absolutely nothing is off limits.
Girls Talk.
Watch What Crappens would like to thank its premium sponsors.
Just saying, okay?
Christy Wowerty Dowerty. Ashley Savoni, she don't take no baloney.
Kelly Barlow, when she goes Barlow, we go high-low.
Megan Berg, you can't have a burger without the bird.
Ain't no thing like Allison King.
Megan the Slayer Taylor.
Sarah Greenwood, she only uses her power for good.
Hannah, God, I love that banana. Anderson. Hot dang, it's Jessica Dang.
Lisa Wallant, now that's what I call Wallentainment.
Hava Nagila Weber.
And our super premium Patreon subscribers,
Susie going toe to toe bin.
Mina Coochie Coochie Coochie.
Kelly Grant, the Grantmaster.
Give them hell, Miss Noel.
Let's get racy with Miss Stacy.
Shannon out of a cannon, Anthony.
The incredible Edible Matthews sisters. And Lizzie Drucker, a fine motherfucker.
We love you guys. Hello and welcome to Watch What Crappens, the podcast about all that crap we just love to talk about on ye old bravs. I'm Ronnie Karam. I'm also on the Rose Pricks Bachelor Roast podcast, which is back and bigger than ever. And here I am with my trusty co-host and bestie, Mr. Ben Mandelker from The Real Housewares of Kitchen Island on LUTube. Oh, hi, Ben.
Hey, what's up?
I'm doing just great today. How are you?
I'm doing pretty well, thanks. Just, puttering along.
Puttering along in life.
Yeah. Sometimes it's all you can ask from someone. Okay.
Yep. Well, welcome to a very special Pump Rules episode. It's very special because we felt just hugged by this episode on a personal level. But before we get to that, our little Broqueño Berdinos, we have some live shows coming up. We are sold out for a lot of stuff coming up this year, so go get your tickets, okay? We have a show in Dallas coming up February 8th that's going to be amazing. We just decided what we're going to recap, and that is the ever-popular, the amazing Below Deck, which should be having its finale that week. That's our Friday show. Our Saturday show will be a classic Dallas episode. Yep. We're not sure which one. So get that one sold out anyway. So go get your tickets for the Below Deck recap. That is going to be wild. People are loving that show this year, as are we. And then we are going to be in Vancouver for the Just for Laughs Comedy Festival. And that's the second part of February. And then we are going to Boston, Massachusetts, and Irvine. And we just announced a show in Portland, Oregon.
Yeah, those tickets actually went on sale today. It's actually a pre-sale. It goes on sale for the public on Thursday. But if you want to get your tickets before they go on sale to the public, maybe nab those VIPs before they're gone. Just go to Patreon, patreon.com/watchourcrappens. We also have a show in Phoenix. I don't know if you mentioned that. And the other thing is, hello, on top of Below Deck for Dallas, we also decided we're going to recap Below Deck for the first night in Charleston. So how exciting is that?
Yeah, we're going to have fun times. We're going to milk that Below Deck for all it's worth.
Yeah.
And go get your t-shirts. Ben in the Streets, Ronnie in the Sheets. Go get those over at crappensmerch.com or watchatcrappens.com. And that is it. Oh, we're going to be doing live streams of our Thursday and Friday recaps this week, which are Top Chef, Real Housewives of New Jersey, and then Top Chef on Friday. Those are going to be around noon Pacific time, and you can find those on the TV Party app. So download that app, and it will notify you when we are going live. And that is that for plugging stuff. Hey, Ben.
Hey, yeah. I'm excited about Portland, by the way. Very excited to be heading there with our little show.
Me Latin too. Theater. I've never been there, and people have been telling us we need to come there, and now we are finally coming. Don't say we don't listen.
Yeah, exactly. It's going to be super exciting. We'll go to Powell's Books.
Okay. I'm down. I'll be like, where's your Kindle section? Just kidding. I like going into really old bookstores and being like, ew, these books smell. Are these real? Who uses these?
What an antiquated technology.
Yeah. Do you have the iPhone version of this? What every private bookstore lover loves to hear.
Yeah, I'm sure they would really appreciate that at Powell's.
Well, previously on Vanderpump Rules, I'm in guy, yeah. Okay, so I've had a real long break off from this show. It was off holidays, and then I was off for the holidays the last Monday that it aired, and the lovely Lara Shane Hall covered for me and did a brilliant job from what I heard. And I finally watched the episode and was just dying. I mean, I didn't get enough scoops. I'm come on. How did they make Raquel a hero? She's a piece of driftwood, and I fucking love Raquel now.
I know. I mean, she has like childhood math-related ice cream trauma. That's a very endearing quality in someone.
I understand bullying because I didn't finish my multiplication table.
I wasn't invited to the ice cream party, so I had to be put in a room and watch movies.
Winnie the Pooh. Oh my Winnie God. The
Was that also the first episode where we, or was it, I think it was the first episode where we learned that Brittany was going to be launching a beer cheese, right? Or was that the second episode?
No, I was with you on the episode where we watched her and Jack at that fancy cheese store. And then they showed her making it, I think that week and the week I missed. And it's like a big frozen piece of Velveeta.
Yeah. And Laura and I were joking about how this idiot is starting up a beer cheese company and doesn't even know how to make the beer cheese yet.
Yeah. Well, or that they had to get permits and stuff.
Yeah. It was a mess, but it was great. Yes. I mean, every episode is kind of a gem.
Yeah. But that was just special. I mean, it was like Raquel's origin story, and it also kind of explains where her personality came from. Like, she was so traumatized and sat in front of Winnie the Pooh because she is kind of Winnie the Pooh-ish. Like, hi. I support you, you know.
Yeah, she's probably a little Eeyore, too.
She is a little Eeyore, but she's like sort of a positive Eeyore.
Yeah. You know, I've never seen Winnie the Pooh.
Oh, my God. I feel like you've seen so much. There's like a block. There was something going on in your childhood that your parents were not showing you Mary Poppins and Winnie the Pooh. What the hell?
But I saw about the four old ladies who were at a church who like solve crimes. Like the North Street, like bandits or something like that. The North Street, North Avenue, something and others with Cloris Leachman. Regulars, the North Avenue Regulars.
I didn't see that.
Well, it's really worthwhile. But yeah, I did not see
you're just trying to trick me now. You're just trying to get movies, like random shit that you know I haven't seen just so you'll feel better about your childhood.
I don't think anyone has seen the North Avenue Irregulars. I don't think anyone has seen that, but I watched it like 10 times in a row because there was like a scene where they were like chasing people in cars. And you know, like when you're like 5 years old and you see a car sideswipe a fruit stand, it's like the funniest thing you've ever seen. I was like, this is the most amazing movie. It's hilarious.
Oh, violence. Casual violence.
Yeah. Never have a fruit stand.
No kidding. Fruit stand people never make it out alive in movies.
I know. It's a miracle there aren't more deaths.
Yeah. So we opened this week at Vanderpump Dogs because unfortunately the Yulin Festival starts again today. And everyone's like, woohoo! Let's do an 80s theme! It's like, no. It's the festival where they eat dogs. And they're like, woohoo, hot dogs! No.
No, we have strange face tattoos that you won't be able to take off your face and will embarrass you all day long.
We have copied the Stop Hate campaign, which is about bullying teenaged gay people, and we've changed the words around to make it for everyone who's ever dated Kristen. Stop the torture.
We decided to come up with a catchy phrase that has no wit or wordplay involved. Stop the torture.
I'm like, first you have a gay pride parade set in the 80s, which is the worst time ever for gays. Okay.
And then you come up with a sticker that makes fun of Chef Joe's cooking. It's not nice.
And steal
to stop the hate campaign. I mean, come on, Lisa, really?
She's almost in our decade, almost.
Yeah, she's like, we need dog lovers all over the planet to take their pictures with this tattoo and spread the words, even Kristen Doty.
Get it! I'd like to give the world a Coke in perfect harmony and stop you, Lynn, and stop the torture, even Kristen Doty.
Get it.
So, Jax, of course, you know, nothing can just be about dog death for a day. So Jax is telling everybody, oh, I talked to Sandoval yesterday, and Lisa talked to James, and I guess she let him go. And Chris is like, about damn time! Ugh.
The Sir Goddesses are shining down on me. I'm like, I think the only thing that Sir Goddesses do is like urinate on those below them. Yeah, and you're, you don't even work there anymore.
Yeah. Yeah, she's too involved. Yeah. She's like, bye, bitch! So James and, oh God, that hurt my voice. So James and Raquel enter, and he's like, he tells us, Kristen, congrats, you fucked my shit up again, yet again, but I'm not going to miss this dog event for the world.
Meanwhile, Raquel's just looking at the little face tattoos and is like, I'm glad that someone's finally standing up to ice cream exclusion. Stop the torture.
Lisa, may I suggest soft serve? No, Raquel, you're late. No one serve Raquel ice cream.
How many times do we have to watch these poor dogs get killed? I'm sorry, I'm actually not good at multiplication, so I can't really answer a times question.
So Sheena comes in and she's like, oh my God, I'm going to hang out with Adam. It's going to be amazing. Adam. Jeez, thanks for coming by, Sheena.
And then, Kristen, meanwhile, is like giving James that nasty Doty look. And she's like, just because you show up at a charity event with an adorable puppy doesn't mean you're a good person. Charles Manson had dogs. He also had his own t-shirt line. So,
Seriously? He also had a lot of Instagram followers. He's actually sounding kind of good.
He actually did get invited to the ice cream party, Raquel. Sorry. Not sorry.
Sorry, Charles Manson was a lot of things, but he wasn't someone who skipped out on Scoops.
Maybe you didn't learn about Charles Manson when you're watching Winnie the Pooh. Sorry.
So Ariana and Stassi are over in a different section of the dog pee smelling couch, and they're talking about being excited to have their joint birthday party. And, you know, I'm not liking this. Everybody just ganging up on James. And I'm not liking that Ariana just jumped on that team to gang up on James. Mm-hmm. I don't like it.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a little weird because it's odd because, yeah, I think that James, oddly enough, should not have been disinvited from the party. Because, oh gosh, I don't know. Because on the one hand...
Trying to come up with a reason.
No, because I'm thinking on the one hand, it's not a workplace. But then again, it is a workplace because it is being shot. But it's not a workplace. But then if someone, like, if Stassi is a co-host and she's would actually be uncomfortable by James being there, which she really wouldn't be. She's just doing it for Katie's sake. But if she doesn't want James there, I think probably in Ariana's case, like, James isn't like, it's not a hill that she's willing to die on, you know, which is, I don't know how I feel about that. I don't know if I'm willing to die on a hill to talk about Ariana's dying on a hill. You know what I'm saying? About James.
Yeah. I don't know that anybody needs to die on a hill. I just think it's shitty. Like, you're friends with somebody one minute and then the next minute you're friends with these other girls who are notoriously manipulative and trying to get you not to hang out with whoever they don't like. They've done it every season. And now they're doing it to James. Now, James, of course, did call Katie fat. So, you know, but
maybe,
you know,
James shouldn't have put Ariana in that position.
Yeah, it's true.
You know, like,
I don't know. It's sort of like if you're letting Jackson anywhere, you know what I mean? That's true. That's my rule.
That's,
like,
that's the biggest problem.
Yeah. If Jack's allowed to even roam the earth, then James can do whatever he wants. That's what I say.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I mean, I do think actually ultimately James, I think it's actually an extremely gray area, because I'm like, on the one hand, yeah, you're right. Like, you know, it's Ariana's friend and she should be invited. She should be allowed to invite James. They stay on separate section, like they send separate sides of the party, like James or whatever. And then if he acts up, he gets kicked out. And that's supposed to be made. That should be made very clear. But at the same time, he did say some shit that, like, maybe even Ariana, it's like, you know what? You are my friend, but you said some shit that I can't condone and I can't, like, I can't support that at my party. I don't know.
Okay. Well, I think
it's a gray area. It's one of the many nuances of Vanderpump Rules.
I think they're being dicks in this situation. So Lisa pulls James over. She's like, James, come here. I'm taking time out of my busy, busy, busy schedule. I don't have time, but I would love to talk to you about your drinking. And he's like, not a set, Lisa. Not a set in 27 hours and two. I'm like, oh my God, this is not going well.
Yeah. So she says that she's going to meet with James's mom because she's going to tell James's mom to support him more. And Lisa's like, you know, he came into this restaurant as a wee 20-year-old with dreams of becoming a DJ at Coachella. And we've, on the one hand, he surpassed that by starting See You Next Tuesday at Sir. But on the other hand, I feel like a personal failure. Sometimes I shouldn't be as involved, but you can't help it when you see so many broken birds.
Saw him the first time, I said, there's a man with semi-crossed eyes and a dimple the size of a cereal bowl on his chin. I thought he was destined for great success. Unfortunately, his wings were clipped on his way to Coachella.
The first time I saw him, I thought, what a large lolly. Turns out he was a busboy. I said, hire that lollipop to bust these tables and we'll turn him into a DJ yet. And then we had DJ Lollipop. What was I talking about?
That's actually catchy.
DJ Lollipop. Well, there is someone named Marshmallow, so you never know.
So Ariana's like, my stomach hurts. I don't want to kick him out. Is Raquel allowed to come? And Stassi's like, yeah, because I know you're friends with her, so whatever. So Ariana's like, hey, James, can we talk for a second about the party on Saturday? There's people who are going to be there who don't feel comfortable given their past dinner. And he's like, oh, so you're disinviting me. And then he starts doing that crying thing. He's like, I am put upon. I don't even remember my actions there, but I cry my passion. Really terrible short passion.
I thought Ariana was more of a leader. Guess she's more of a follower. Guess that's it. I'm like, ooh, good leader follower burn.
Yeah, and you know, I hate piling on James in this situation because broken bed. But he's like, Katie already got me fired. And Stassi's like, you got yourself fired. I was like, Katie literally got him fired. Like,
yeah.
I get that he did the actions that got him fired, but they wouldn't have got him fired without Katie. And Katie didn't even work there.
Yeah, I know.
So let's see. So Lala and so Britt now, go to the doctor, which is like another faux feminism scene from Lala with jaundice. It's a jaundice feminism scene.
Yeah, so Lala and Britt are getting a booty smoothie, which is apparently one of Lala's most favorite things. And she's like, she's basically goes, you know, a female booty goes through a lot. We are sitting on toilet seats. We're getting banged from behind. Like, it takes a beating. I'm like, I hate to break it to you, but I think most people sit on a toilet seat at least one time a day, if not a few times. Now, getting banged from behind, that's another story.
Yeah. My man is an ass man, and a vagina man, and a tit man, and a nostril man, and a weenus man, and a bend of the arm man. He's just my man.
He's just a man. That's just what he is. Rand is like such a man. He just likes all the holes and indents on my body. So they're like in their towel. They get their like, they basically get like literally a facial, but on their butt, which actually looked really nice. I like kind of want to get one myself, even though I don't really feel like I have any issues. But I feel like there's no, at the same time, it is clearly something that was so LA and invented. Like I can't imagine that a booty facial really makes that much of a difference. Because as Lala said, like you get that facial done and next thing you know, you're like slapping it right onto a toilet seat. But either way, so they're sitting there afterwards, they're in there with like these white towels, and Lala's like, hey, excuse you, Britt, you look pretty. And Britt's like, oh, do I look pretty and what? Because I'm gonna be a brat.
bad.
I'm like, seriously, like, can we throw her in a river? I mean, this is too much.
And Lala comes in, you know, doing some bone carrying. She's like, so yeah, has anybody said anything to you? Like, if you're worried? And Brittany's like, about what? Cheese? We found some good cheese. We found Gouda, Bowda, Sweetest, Cheddar.
Monster cheese.
I mean, Brittany listing off cheeses has to be one of my favorite Vanderpump moments of all time. That was from last week, and that was another thing that was cracking
When she listed off, like, shredded string and Wouda cheese.
Mozzarella's. I'm like, okay, Brittany.
Colby Calais.
So, Goulet. Rondelay.
Brie Larson. So
Lala's starting shit, and she's like, is anybody telling, you know, are you worried about Jax? And then Brittany's like,
well, just because we're engaged doesn't mean I'm looking past you yet.
And she's like, well, Sandoval has talked about how, like, Jax is just on this dead dad trip and, like, just totally doing this because of his dad. And she's like, ah! But then Lala, did you notice during this conversation, Lala was prompting Brittany to talk, but then Lala would just stare off and just be like, what am I even doing here?
Yeah. I think she's like, I was just at the Cannes Film Festival 2 weeks ago with Rand, and now I'm here getting a booty facial and pretending like I care about Brittany's relationship.
Yeah.
Clearly dead-end relationship.
I was in the row, so...
Yeah, I was in Pitching Love and Catching Faith, so... So Brittany is like you said, she's like, just because we're in I'm not looking past everything he's ever done, because that's not what I'm doing at all. I'm just looking past everything he's ever done.
And by the way, so please don't talk about being in a movie called Catching Faith. That is not very nice.
My feelings are a little hurt by you bringing that up. Her feelings are always like a little bit hurt.
Yeah.
So she's like, the thing is that ever since it's not that JX's dad has died, he's on this whole dad thing, but I do think that he's really changed. It feels like we're in like a brand new relationship. It feels like we just like started dating for the first time, like just like yesterday. I'm like, bitch, then why are you engaged? Yeah. You just started fresh with Jax 2.0.
I'm going to follow my heart. And then she just stares at her diamond ring. I'm like, that's not where your heart is. Okay. That's where your free diamond is.
I'm just a little bit hurt that Tom and Ariana were talking about my relationship and such, because like JAX is going to be my real family. He's like going to be the bear to my cheese. You know, he's going to be the Monterey to my Jick.
Where I come from, you know, you're getting ready to get married when you're getting married to family. Okay. So I know that this is right.
I just want to say that my friend Sylvia is in the next room because she has to do work in my living room because of some issue with trees in her place, and she just texted me saying, what the fuck is going on in there? Welcome to the podcast, Sylvia.
Why does everybody always avoid talking about Lala? You know, I know that Lala took shit the first season, but now Lala has a private jet, so everybody's just leaving her alone. Why has nobody asked Lala why her face looks tie-dyed? Like, who put on her face a ceiling fan? She looks crazy. Her body's like pale white, and then her face is like three different colors of burnt sienna all swirled together like a frozen yogurt. Who is... Help her!
You make her sound delicious, actually.
Well, apparently her face she is. Delicious. She just got a house in the hills. I'm sure she is delicious, but girl...
She's TCBL. This country's best Lala.
So the song is right after this scene of Jax is never going to be okay, right? We're family is the song by Trixie Monaco.
We'll get it right this time.
That's appropriate. And it's also appropriate to segue to Stassi and Bo, who are, we see them at home. Stassi's in her kitchen. I noticed that she has a stand mixer. I feel like, what does Stassi use a stand mixer for? Does she make like froze in that or something? Like, I can't imagine Stassi actually ever making a dough.
Yeah, I feel like she'd be either.
But as a girl who shops in Target a lot, let me just say, there's something, there's an allure to the stand mixer. And you know that Stassi watches a lot of Netflix, and we're all pulled in at some point or another into that fucking Great British Baking Show or
whatever. Yes.
And everyone gets a mixer. I've had three mixers, and I keep selling them. And I'm like, I don't need a mixer. What am I doing?
I finally got my mixer sometime last year. And I was like, do I really need this? And honestly, it's been a joy. Every time it's not like I need it every day, but those times I do need it, I'm like, thank God for this mixer.
Yeah, thanks, mixer.
But I'm just imagining Stassi just using it for totally wrong reasons. Like, I imagine her doing like raffles with it. She puts in a bunch of like ping pong balls with numbers, and she just like sets the whisk to go, and they're like, the balls just come flying out. Like, she just doesn't even understand what it's for. Like, her mom gave it to her, like, here, you'll need this. And she's like, my mom got me a glove dryer, and she just like puts her glove on the little whisk and lets it spin around. You know?
Oh. Well, so Bo comes over and he's like, Orietta Orichette, Farfalle, Fantugo, Pebe, Rigatoni. She's like, yeah, we went to Italy and he took me to graveyards. It was like the most romantic thing.
Romantic AF. Yes, she was saying, and then she compares Bo to Patrick, and she's like, you know, like, what's nice about Bo is that he doesn't say condescending big words to me condescendingly. And we see a flashback of Patrick saying galvanizing and myopic. And I'm like, yes, Patrick was very condescending, and he was a douche. He was a huge douche. He came in like a very significant second place to Thomas Ravenel in our crappies. But that being said, I just really, I can't get behind galvanizing and myopic being like crazy big words.
Yeah, I'm still not sure what myopic means, really. I feel like it's kind of, it's to do with vision, right?
Yeah, see? Yeah.
You see? I got some of it, but I'd still be like, what?
No, it's like, you basically can't see very well. Yeah. It's like, yeah. Anyway, that
well,
was
see,
just me
I learned
being
something today, guys.
Yeah. That's me being elitist. I've shamed Stassi for her stand mixer and not knowing what the word galvanizing and myopic mean.
So she's like, I'm so excited about being 30 because I'm a woman when I'm 30. And I'm like, oh no, here she goes on her 30 trip. Look, I'm still going on my 40 trip and I'm 43 now. I'm like, but I'm 43, so you have to listen to me. And people really think that people listen to you more when you're older. But guess what? They listen to you less and less.
Okay? Yeah. So, yeah, I feel very insignificant now that I'm 40. Very.
You are. I mean, no offense. Yeah. It's not you personally. It's just the world, you know? And suddenly, like, you're in Baskin Robbins, and they just skip your number. And you're like, wait a minute. Yeah. I know they didn't call my number.
I mean, like, there's literally an age bracket that is known as the coveted age bracket of, like, what is it? 22 to 35 or something like that. You know, it's like they literally call it the coveted age bracket. Like we are not in a coveted age bracket. We are uncoveted.
Yeah, we're uncoveted. So she's talking about like how amazing it is that she's an adult. And she's like, I feel Soup's grown up now. And he's just looking at her like, yeah, that's not an adult. But I am going to wear Christmas lights later as an outfit. So I'll keep quiet.
I feel Soup's grown up right now as she like plunges her margarita glass into her stand mixer refill. So,
so now Sheena's, we go over to Sheena and Marina. I mean, if that's not a spinoff, I don't know what it is.
Sheena and the Marina. Sheena and the Marina coming to Musty TV.
Mm-hmm.
So she's in her apartment and she's conned Adam into making a day bed for her. And they're like, they're just kind of like stumped by what the notion of a day bed is. I mean, to be fair, I am too, but it's more funny when they are stumped by it, I think.
I think it's so cute that people even named it that. I just call it the bed. I'm in it all day. I have an all day and all night bed.
I agree. 24-hour bed.
And she's like, first of all, this apartment is so Marina, and you know it's like $5,000.
Yeah.
Because you see boats. And there's just crap all over the bathroom because it's Sheena. And she's like, I'm taking a shower. You can join me if you want to go out with me. And he's like, ugh, no, thank you.
Sheena has been starring in that play, like, Sex Tips for Straight Women from Gay Men or whatever. And clearly what she's learned from it is clunky seduction. She's like, well, I hope you don't have too much of a hard time putting together the day bed, because I'm going to go sit on the night bed and then maybe masturbate. So it's like, Sheena.
I'm going to take a shower in your juices. He's like, gross.
Stop.
Is it too warm in here? I'll lower the temperature to 69 degrees, which is reminiscent of my favorite sexual position, 69. Get it?
When I'm done with my shower, I want to make you a nice tall glass of vagina.
Hey, I hope putting this together is a breeze, because I like breezes. They blow through here. You know what else blows through here? Blowjobs, which I can give you right now. It's like, oh, Sheena, you're really forcing this.
So she's like, I really like him, but he tells me all the time that he doesn't want to be in a relationship. And I would take it further, but he says he doesn't want a relationship. But Adam doesn't give me sex. But maybe one time I'll say yes. Like, he's hot as fuck.
Sheena, come on. Yeah. You're in Marina now.
Sheena, he is literally playing with your cat's toy right now. He's like patting it between his hands back and forth.
I'm Sheena in Marina. Sheena and Marina, you drive Sheena really Del Rey. Far if you have a car, and then you sit on a penis. Get it, Adam?
He's like, oh, another sex joke.
Sheena. Her next door neighbor is David Leisure. So, anyway.
So she has a sunglasses rack in her room, and it's just so cheap. It's so Sheena. It's like if you can't have a Barca lounge, if you can't have matching Barca loungers with big gulp holders, then please get a plastic gas station sunglasses rack.
I know. Full of Cynthia Bailey eyewear.
Yeah. It's all $5 eyeglasses. And they're all the same, which is weird.
Yeah. Oh, Sheena, never change. Never change.
She's like, what are you, a choreographer? Because you make my vagina dance.
Oh, my God. Don't get near me. I might prick you because I'm horny. I've got horns, but I'm horny.
What do you want to do today?
Put together a day bed.
K, why?
Because you asked me to.
K, why?
Because you asked me to.
I hope there are no earthquakes. I hope there are no earthquakes here, because this place might really shake a lot. It's be like a vibrator. Get it? Get at him, vibrator.
Hey, does someone order some chicken? Because I'm ready to get pounded.
My favorite vegan restaurant is called Doomy's Home Cooking. Do you like that place? It's called Doomy. Doomy. Doomy.
So stupid. So they're talking about the party, and she's like, I just assume we're going to go together. It's winter themed. Do you watch Game of Thrones? And she's like, yeah, I guess it's like a White Walker thing. And she goes, that's what Katie's going as, which is so funny.
Okay.
I mean, that's so funny.
That's pretty much what the whole cast is going as.
Yeah, Katie ended up showing up like Ned Stark as a White Walker, which is odd. She was wearing that big bear jacket.
I wrote down that she looked like she was from North of the Wall, which is not a good look. That's not a good thing if you're North of the Wall. And then I was so proud of myself that I even was able to make that reference.
Yeah, babe, we've come so far.
Look at that. I could say North of the Wall and make sense.
So Adam's like, you don't watch Game of Thrones, Sheena. She's like,
I know. Remember we had this discussion. You thought it was my only flaw.
I love that she like buzzed herself off. It's like she was on a game show and she just buzzed herself. My only flaw is, she's just playing the Sheena Wed game. It's just like her raising up signs about herself. My only flaw is, I don't watch Game of Thrones. All right, Sheena, and what did you say? What was the answer? And she lifts up her own thing and says, I don't watch Game of Thrones. Oh my God, I got it right.
So let's go over to Tom Tom.
Oh, Tom Tom. Lisa's there supervising various construction things. And then she's like talking to various workers. And James's mom, Jacqueline, comes over. And she meets up with Lisa, and then like this worker's leaving, and he's like, thanks, Lisa. And she just sort of like looks at him like, who is that person talking to me? She just goes, yeah. She's like, strange non-rich person talking to me who's not a cast member of television show.
Hello, descamisado. Those are the poor people in Evita.
Oh.
Don't cry for me, Jacqueline.
Oh my God. Does his mom look just like Kristen to you? Because she looks like a worn out Kristen to me. And I looked on Facebook last night and someone else said that too. And I was like, oh my God, it's not just me. It's creepy to me how much she looks like Kristen.
She looks a little bit like Kristen, and she looks a little bit like a cartoon bug in like a cute way. Like, you know, that, remember that movie A Bug's Tale, Bug's World or whatever, Bug's Life?
A Bug's Life.
She looks like she could be, yeah, she's like one of those, like a Pixar bug, a cute Pixar bug. Like she could be a dragonfly.
A cute Pixar Kristen bug.
Yeah.
An ant that keeps dropping the watermelon. It's like, ugh! Yeah. God, that ant can't play with others.
She looks like a dragonfly who like comes in and warns the ant, don't go to the outside world, it's scary out there. And then someone like coughs and she gets startled and drops something.
Come on in, Jacqueline. There are so many unforeseen hurdles to jump over. Oh, literally. Get it?
There's exposed nails. So Jacqueline's like, so anywho, 9 months sober. And Lisa's like, oh, congratulations. I can see a difference. You're looking less like Kristen and more like that adorable dragonfly.
Instead of looking like a garbage toilet, you look like a... a clean floor, flush toilet.
It's like, thanks. She's like, it's really like the biggest change in my life, Lisa. Like the biggest change in my life. She goes,
oh, well, yes, isn't that something to be proud of? Now, I wanted to see you because I'm concerned about Jamesy Wamesy, little broken token. He has an unbelievable disrespect for women.
Okay. I need you to stop right there. Whenever someone says that, I'm always like, no, this is never good. Whenever someone says, I need you to stop right there, I always get so mad. I'm like, no, they don't need to stop right there. You need to stop right there. Crossing guard of conversation. No.
Yes.
So she goes, I get that there's this whole movement of women, but when women come at my son, where does James go to? Like, if women attack him, how does he defend himself? People provoke him. I'm like, oh my God, lady.
Yeah, that's where he gets it. You can see where he comes from, you know? And so that's another problem that we have, because then here you come with James and like you see where it's coming from. But at what point does that stop being an excuse? You know?
Yeah.
And I don't know.
Yeah. I mean, there's obviously, you know, like he's learned victimization from his mother, obviously here. Like this sort of like inability to have accountability.
Yeah. That sounded like it was
some sort of like motivational. Yeah.
And
but
so she's like, where does he go to? And she goes, well, he drinks way too much. And she's like, that is not what we're talking about right now, Lisa. I'm like, listen here, Kristen. Listen here, future Kristen. You better watch your fucking face, okay? You better watch it because you're about to lose it. And Lisa's like, well, he's different when he drinks too much. She goes, but when they provoke him, Lisa, he is 26 years old. Yeah, such a young baby, and he's taking care of your lame ass who won't get a job.
Yeah.
How dare you? You piece of trash, okay?
Yeah.
You and that father, you should be ashamed of yourselves.
Yeah, the provoking thing, that does not work. That does not work, because guess what he does? He provokes them too. So there, it's a moot point now, based on what I say. So now Lisa's like, well, guess what? Surprise twist, he's lost his job. His once a week job.
He lost his job that supports his own family as a busboy. Like, wait a minute.
And Jacqueline's like, you fired him? And then she starts to cry and she's like, what set him off? Because if no one set him off, he's not going to set himself off. I'm like, actually, it's called alcohol is what sets him off. He could see like a dust mite. He'd be like, oh yeah, you think it says special dust mite? You think it says special? Being a little dust. Guess what? You should be a dirt mite, a little dirt mite. Hey, old dust mite boy, a little dusty dirt. You're a dusty vagina. That's why it's like, James, why are you yelling at the dust?
Yeah. Dust bunny. So she's like, what happened, Lisa? What would he do? And she's like, well, he goes around going, you're a slut, you're a whore, you're okay, you're trash. And she's like, well, what did they do? And she's like, you're defending his actions. She goes, no, I'm not, Lisa. We are not talking about that now. I'm humbly arguing with you.
So Lisa's basically like, James needs to be in therapy and he needs to be controlling his anger. And Jacqueline has to tell him that he's never allowed to talk to women that way. And so Jacqueline goes, well, I'm working up the nerve to be able to have balls towards him because I made so many mistakes and I was so ashamed as a mother. I'm like, really? Like, who would have thought? Who would have thought you made so many mistakes? Your son is like been documented guzzling fireball and calling women out for having summer bodies.
Oh my
or
gosh,
winter
she's
bodies.
The worst. The mother stole Kristen's credit card and went and got Botox for like $400.
Is that true?
She said on camera, that's Well, that's what I heard from Bravo Real Housewives on Reddit. So wow. That's the goss. So that's legend. Don't sue me because I just read it on Reddit. Now I see where that name comes from. But yeah, she is trash. And then she came on TV and said that Kristen's karma is that she'll always be barren. I mean, what kind of fucking monster is
right.
this woman?
She okay? did say that.
Yeah, she's been horrible. And she also throws James under the bus here because she says she's working up the nerve, like you said. She goes, because I made so many mistakes that I allowed him to speak to me like that, Lisa. I'm like, oh, okay, so now you're the real victim here. Trash.
Well, yeah, and she, I mean, obviously this woman's a monster, right?
Yeah.
I mean, she basically, like, raised a spoiled-ass child. I shouldn't say she's a monster.
Spoiled.
Well, I mean, if he was talking to her that way, then he was spoiled in a certain way. Like, he was spoiled with entitlement, the entitlement that he thinks he can speak to his mother that way. Admittedly, she also was grappling with alcoholism, which is no joke. And that's like a serious thing. And that is probably a huge part of this equation. And, you know, I'm not going to make fun of her or get on my soapbox about that. But the truth is, you know, I mean, like, how did she, like, let her son just talk to her like that? I don't know. James is actually one of the most fascinating people on television because as I'm even mid-sentence saying this stuff, then I start to have this reversal. I'm like, she raised this monster. He's a monster. But then, like, the shit that he had to grow up in, I mean, he was teased, like, mercilessly by these kids that broke his arm in school with his ears and everything like that. He goes home to this dysfunctional family. His mom's drinking and there's weird boundaries that are set. He's probably unleashing his anger from school at home on her, and she says nothing. It's so fucked up. Like, I go back and forth between just being like, ugh, these people raised a monster, to like, oh my God, this poor child, this poor person. You know, I don't even know what to, I don't even have a point of view on James anymore. I can't tell. I don't know what, I don't know what's what.
Well, the mom is, like, freaking out. She's like, Lisa, please let him keep Tuesday. If you take everything away from him, I don't know what he'll do. It's kicking someone while they're down. I'm like,
No, this is how you got into the problem right here. It's not kicking him while he's down. He's down. He wasn't down until he was kicked out of the job. So it's not kicking him when he's down because this is
like
the down
those people
thing.
Who run over people and then they're like, that person jumped in front of my car. It's like that.
Yeah.
It's like, no, that it's person like, was in the crosswalk. This is a road.
Yeah, exactly. No, no, she like, this is not kicking him when he's down. This is like, you know, we had a whole conversation, you know, Laura and I, when you were gone, about the situation with James. And she was sort of the mindset that, like, she was actually on James's side. And she felt like Katie was basically using this to blackball James. And I was
Yeah, I'm totally with that.
She is, but ultimately, I still don't think that it's appropriate that James said any of the things that he said to Katie, regardless. So,
no, Katie totally baited him, and she's trying to use this woman's movement as, like, her storyline, and she's an asshole, and she's on Twitter hinting that she's been abused, and she's hashtagging things consent, like James abused her or something. I mean, Katie's trash, too. So I've never liked Katie, and everybody knows that I have an issue with Katie. Like, I don't like her. She makes me nuts. I mean, not in real life, obviously. I don't know her. But on this show, she makes me crazy. So she totally baited him, but he took the bait, you know?
Yeah.
It's like, when are fish going to get smarter? You know, you catch a fish and you're like, still, you guys are falling for this? When people throw you back, don't you go tell the rest of your family that this is going to happen? Like, Katie's a shark, okay?
Yeah, but the thing is this, though. Still, like, he can't say that shit. Like, he still was being ridiculous. Like, even if he took the bait, it was like, it wasn't just that he said that. He's so over the top and so obnoxious when he's drunk and this beast comes out. Like, of course he's got to lose his job. I'm sorry, he has to. And so when the mom is like, don't kick him while he's down, it's like, no, this is the consequence of his actions. This is what consequences are, lady.
Yeah, and if you don't want them to kick him when he's down, then tell him to stand up so they can kick him. I mean, please.
But then I'm also laughing, by the way, because, like, the woman just, like, begging that her son can have his DJ night by the pizza oven. It was, like, hilarious to me.
Yeah,
like,
he's paying their bills, you know?
Well, yeah.
That's so bad. That's so bad.
Yeah, but they're also acting like this job is, like, he was just, like, kicked off of the Los Angeles Lakers or something. Like that. Like,
she's
some
like, please
amazing
don't let him
opportunity.
Out of this hedge fund, please, Lisa, please. She's like, well, that pizza oven is going to have to warm someone else's tushy in front of the DJ stand for a little while.
Just so over the top.
And then she goes, Lisa, you are his mother figure. She goes, no, you're his mother figure, right? You idiot. No, get
you
out of here.
Stupid idiot.
So then we go to the Christmas party store where the girls are shopping for creepy Santas for the winter party.
Yeah.
That's pretty.
They're basically like,
there.
Yeah, me. They're just like babbling about talking about turning 30 and how she's like, I can't have birthday meltdowns anymore. Oh my God. I am. And then she's like, I am past my birthday meltdowns. She's like all proud. But you know what though? Speaking of winter wonderland stores, Rondell, you know, it is winter right now. This was filmed in the summer, but it's winter right now. It's January. And I think it's a good time to be talking about New Year's resolutions. And my New Year's resolution is to eat healthier or try to, or just have better ingredients in the things that I eat, or just to cook for myself more rather than going out, which is why it's so perfect.
I'm Adjoa Burr, model and host of the Girls Talk podcast, where I invite badasses like Georgia Smith and boxing champion Ramla Ali to share how they take control of their chaos.
It didn't become about changing myself. It became about loving myself. Going to boxing meant I loved the person I was becoming. I was becoming more confident through sport.
So next time you need to escape your everyday, lose yourself in the fierce female chat of the Girls Talk podcast, where absolutely nothing is off limits.
Girls Talk.
Don't miss Mary Queen of Scots, the perfect story for our times, starring Academy Award nominee Saoirse Ronan.
Your queen is in Scotland now.
And Academy Award nominee Margot Robbie.
Queen Elizabeth, your cousin Mary has returned to rule.
She has a claim on your crown.
You would have me depose the sister monarch.
Critics are calling it thrilling, stunning, 5 stars.
If you murder me, you murder your sister.
Mary Queen of Scots, in cinemas January 18th.
Perfect that we have Green Chef to talk about. Am I right?
Yes, of course. Green Chef is a USDA certified organic company that includes everything you need to easily cook delicious meals that you can feel good about, Ben.
Yes. Seriously, recipes are quick and easy with step-by-step instructions, chef tips, and photos to guide you along.
Green Chef expert chefs design recipes with gourmet flavor you typically only find in restaurants.
J-A-A-X. With Green Chef, it's easy to maintain a specialty diet and enjoy exciting new options, especially if you're a bride-to-be like me.
Green Chef thinks dinner should be planned around your life, not the other way around. Don't be naughty.
So we have indulged in the Green Chef experience several times. I really, really love it. I remember, Ronnie, you texted me and you were like, oh my God, this is amazing.
I love some Green Chef. Yeah, I've been eating it for the past few weeks right in a row. I get it for myself. Love it. I hate going to the store, but I love to cook. And I've learned to make a lot of new things. You know, and I'm a new vegetarian, so they are helping me with that.
One thing that's actually really cool about Green Chef is that they have meal plans for like paleo, vegan, vegetarian, keto, gluten-free, omnivore, and carnivore. I have so many friends doing keto, and I've even thought about doing keto. But one of the reasons why I have not done keto is because I'm like, it just seems so hard. So it's super cool that they actually have, they can just send you keto boxes.
For $50 off your first box of Green Chef, go to greenchef.us/crappins. That's greenchef.us/crappins for $50 off your first box of Green Chef.
Woohoo! Yeah, people should do that because it's my fucking birthday.
Okay, so next up we have Tom and Tom going to visit Lisa Vanderpump at Villa Rosa.
Oh my God, this is the scene. I don't know if we've ever had so many texts and tweets and messages. This is the scene of all scenes for Crappins. This is the moment that all our listeners came together across the country, across the world, and gave each other an invisible hug, because the scene starts with Lisa with a literal broken bird in her hands.
Broken bird. And you know it's going to be a fairy tale like scene, because as the Toms are walking up, Tom 2's like, wow, this is like the Yellow Brick Road.
Yeah, he's... Well, it's kind of appropriate because Tom number two is sort of Scarecrow-esque.
Yeah. And Vanderpump's in the backyard with the little bird, and she's like, this little bird flew into the house and hit the window.
I was expecting Linda to come in. Linda from Orange County. Like, oh, yeah, Lisa, that happens. You know, they just hit the windows. What can you do? They just birds, you know?
I don't know why. I know that I was put on this earth to help every little wounded bird that comes my way. Sometimes they turn around and slap me with an olive branch. Brandy Birdie Glanville.
Brandy Birdie Glanville. I was at that point, I was like, oh my God, she came so close to saying broken bird. She said wounded bird. I was like, that's so rude. She came so close. But then she goes, talking of broken birds. I was like, yes, it happened.
She's like, listen here, my little broken bird. Stop tweeting at the other birds that they're whores, or I'm going to have to let you go. Now go clean the mop water. Be free.
Clean the mop water. So then, yeah, so Lisa's like, so talking of broken birds, Tom, you're the only one who sees James as someone who's struggling. At which point the bird is like, you know, I don't want to be part of this conversation. It just like hops up on her chest and she's like, oh, oh, oh. And then just like, she's like, all right, I'm going to set you free.
Lisa's and like then, Snow White. She can nurse a bird back to health just by putting it on her bosom.
Except the difference is that Snow White has these beautiful little like bluebirds and whatever, and Lisa just has like some nasty ass brown sparrow, like one of those generic birds you see on the sidewalk.
Well, they're the ones that need me. Next stop, Grackle Glanville. So Vanderpump's like, I think that James is, let's mix the metaphors, he's a broken bird and a puppy about to be made into a taco. I think he just needs someone to grab the scruff of his neck and pull him up, put him in his bosom, and say, I love you. Now fly, dog, and then throw him off the roof and see if he can make it.
Surely that puppy bird can fly far, far away.
Did you just kill a puppy in your example of saving James?
I'm not sure, but I'm pretty sure that Yulin is now going to be serving puppy burritos with pico de birdo. I don't know. I'm sorry, Ronnie. I'm broken sorry. You deserve better than that. You deserve better than birds. That.
I deserve better than that. Shut
pico
up.
Pico de birdo. This is what's happening. I'm like, honestly, I'm barely functioning right now, everyone. I'm just gonna lay it out there. Pico I had a very puppy. Large... breakfast sandwich, and it put me into a food coma, and I'm just trying to get through, just trying to get my brain clicking.
All right, well, let's get moving along. There's a lot that happened in this show. So Tom number two still can't count. He's like, I'm really good with math. There's 50 shirts. He's like, there's not. There's 100 shirts. And he's like, I counted it. I'll do them again. 1, 2, 18, 50, 1, 5, 9. She's like, it's wrong, stupid.
I love that also his version of math, like his... When she asks him to count up the shirts, he's like, oh, gosh, Bubba, since I can remember, I've always loved math. I'm like, that is, I'm not even sure that counting shirts, that barely even qualifies as math. That's like the most basic level of math, just counting things.
Yeah.
And that this is like, he's like especially equipped to count things because he's always loved math. Just yeah. Like,
he's like, how many shirts are there? How good am I at calculus? It's like, oh, God. Okay, so they're getting the party set up. And by they, I mean Jeremy.
Yeah, Jeremy's like doing everything. He's like lifting, he's like hauling out tables and rolling out spools of wire. And I don't know. I mean, he's like lifting up, but like there's like a crack in the foundation of the house and he like lifts it up with his hands and like kicks some dirt in there to shore it up. He's just like,
Sassy's like, this is a group effort. Kristen got the house. Jeremy's doing stuff. I don't even understand. Like, who cares? Literally. I mean, everyone's doing their part. And then we see Carter on the couch with her VR thing on his face. Like, duh.
Yeah. He's like, doing like an Oculus Rift.
Yeah. Yeah. That's the most he's done all season.
I know. It literally is. I feel like, and you know that he's just playing like a super boring game on there. He's like literally playing like virtual reality Mahjong and like three of the pieces are missing.
Yeah. They need to get a virtual reality LinkedIn game so he can get his ass a job.
They're getting their hair done, and they've decided to do everything the same so they won't out-hot each other.
Yeah. Which is really, that's one of the nicest things that's ever happened on this show, you know? But it's also one of the most disappointing, you know? Like, this is not a show, we don't tune into Vanderpump Rules to watch two girls, make a pact to not out-hot each other.
Yeah.
No.
But thankfully, Kristen's there to break the monotony, because she sees an ice sculpture and she's like, this is next level shit!
Oh, God, I want to see her go on House Hunters. Is that fucking popcorn ceilings? So then Brittany's getting her makeup done, and Jack shows up, and she's like, is that my fiance that I hear? I'm like, oh, my God.
Is that my honey bunny bunny dun dun? Oh, come here, give me some kiss.
She has already become the most annoying bride to be on TV. I mean, it's like every single thing is like a reference to getting married now. She's just going to be one of those people. And God forbid, honestly, I feel bad for everyone for when she finally has a baby. She will not shut up. First of all, everything's just going to be a discussion about bibs and pooping and songs that she's like, you know what songs I really like? I actually really like those songs that they're playing on Nick Jr. I know it's for the kids, but I actually kind of like them too. It's like, thanks. I really care.
Hey, move over, Taylor Swift. I got the Wiggles now.
You know what movie that's actually really good is the Oogie Love movie. It was good.
She's going to be one of those people who's like, I'm talking to my baby while it's in my tum-tums.
She actually has a bowl of Tums that she's going to plunge her baby into.
And Jax is just like, hey. And she's like,
so I just wanted to tell you something real fast. I guess Ariana and Tam were saying that they didn't know if you were going to change. And they were afraid you were just marrying me because you're dead. And he's like, well, I can't believe they would say that. Especially Tom. What right does he have to question me? I would never question him about why Ariana won't marry him. And they're just jealous when someone's doing better than them.
I love all the massive blind spots in Jax's perspective when he's like, what right does Tom have to question me? I'm marrying Brittany. Well, you slept with his girlfriend. So I think that gives him a forever right to question your motives at all times.
Yeah, and he's like, I would never say anything about him and Ariana, but she's never gonna marry him.
Yeah, exactly. That's classic Jax. So then we go over to James and Raquel's apartment, and James is just doing dishes, puttering around, much like I was at the top of the podcast. And like, there's like a knock on the door, or the doorbell, or whatever. And there's Lisa Vanderpump. She's like, hello, I'm at your door. It's me, Nanny Kay. So he like lets her in. She looks so uncomfortable in this one bedroom apartment. She like doesn't know what to do with herself. She's like, so what a lovely foyer you have. Where is the rest of your estate?
What a lovely place to keep your shoes.
Oh, I'm so happy to finally see your closet. Please take me into the rest of your estate. James is like, Lisa, this is it.
He's like, it's the Queen of England coming to visit the peasants in the old tower. I know my couch is clean, but I wanted to put down a tea towel for to sit on. Unfortunately, I only had the ones from Katie, and I've already cleaned up lots of dog shit with that from the past 2 years.
It did remind me of when Dame Judi Dench played Queen Elizabeth and like walked through mud in Shakespeare in Love. She's like, oh, get on with it. But I will say, it was also like, I was like so mad that we didn't get to see Lisa on the streets down below, because I think we all remember when she and Ken took Max to like the Hollywood Music Academy or whatever on Hollywood Boulevard. She's like, we're gonna look at your new school. And when they walked around on Hollywood Boulevard for like all of like five paces, they were acting as if they were in a third world country. Like, oh, look at Hablo English, sir. You know, they were like so confused. Like this non Beverly Hills thing that was literally like 2 miles away from where they lived. They were like, what is this? So now James actually lives in MacArthur Park. So I can't even imagine Lisa in MacArthur Park, because MacArthur Park is kind of a rough and tumble neighborhood. That's truly a rough and tumble neighborhood. So I can only imagine, like, to me, I just see the scene of Rose and Sadie in Big Business getting kicked out of their cab and having to walk to the subway. That's how I imagine Lisa Vanderpump in MacArthur Park.
Yeah, she's like,
am I in Saudi Arabia? That was the longest flight I've ever taken. So she's like, where's Raquel? She's going to the party. That's not good. If I wasn't invited, I would expect my partner to show some allegiance.
Also, I brought her some Edies.
Well, I guess she's not getting her scoops today.
Too bad. Today could have been the life fulfillment dream of getting her scoops, but instead, she'll be taking her lumps. Get it?
She'll be at a party with ice in the title, but being forced to take plain old poo instead of scoops.
I'm workshopping it, James. I'm workshopping it.
Kristen the poo.
So James is like, I'm not mad, Lisa. I've bigger and better things to do. Dishes mostly. But I do have a lovely faucet. She's like, don't you? Now, I saw your mother. She wasn't laying on the ground in the gutter with gum wrappers on her face, so congratulations for that, James. So rude.
So rude.
It
so
becomes
perfect.
A very sad scene because he's like, she's good. I don't want to disrespect my mother, but I thought, when will this childhood end? I would come home from school and she was drinking and fighting with my dad. It was so bad, I had to move out when I was 18. I'm like,
God.
That's kind of when you're supposed to move out, okay?
True.
When you're 18. It's not like you were 11 years old walking the streets.
That's actually hilarious. I didn't even think about that. That is like,
he's like,
the move 18, out
time. Lisa. 18.
It was so bad, I had to go off to college and or not go to college, but find a career path for myself at 18. It's like, It was so bad, I had to vote for the first time at 18.
Yeah, that's kind of how it works. And she's like, well, I'll tell you this. Being a drunkity-drunkity isn't an option anymore. And he's like, really, it's not. I hope you never see me drunk again. Which basically means, I hope you never catch me.
Yeah, exactly.
Because all you really drunk need again, is Lisa. A social media account to know how that's going.
Yeah. So then Lisa's just sort of like sitting there and she's like, well, parquet floors, that's charming. You prefer it here, clearly, rather than living with that weirdo guy. I mean, who would ever want to live with that weird, dumb fuck? Pardon my language, but honestly, he was disgusting and I feel bad for anyone who has to live with him. I'm so glad I could finally say this now that you've moved out. And he's like, well, actually, my father lives there now.
She's and like, this is where she's like, oh, so you're helping all of your family, James? And he's like, yes. She goes, the one redeeming quality he has is helping his family. At 26, that's admirable. You know, and that is. And also, yeah. I wouldn't do it. I would be like, get a job. Fuck you guys, okay? Fuck both
of you. I
mean,
what is... I know. I just want to know, like, what is going on that with this family that now his dad has to live behind the shade with Paul?
He's been paying for everything for his dad forever. He told us that last season. And these parents just, like, live off their kid. It's so gross. And I feel bad for him. But he's going to just have to be like, no, sorry. And then they're probably going to be like, then we're not your parents anymore. And just go, you know, screw someone else over.
Yeah.
It's gross.
No, But I did appreciate the flashback to Paul because I really enjoyed seeing Paul again. I was, you know, he's really, like, one of the unsung heroes from last season. I feel like there's so much happened in season 6 that I feel like we forgot that we finally got to see Paul.
Also, I like that you said parquet. I hate parquet floors.
Because they have parquet floors, don't they?
Yeah. She's like, I haven't seen this much parquet since Katie's wedding. He's like, Lisa, you're fired. Oh, got me. Get it? So Andy still can't do interstitials. I wrote that down. He's like, so next up tonight, I'll watch what happens live. Cut off.
He got killed by one of the things from The Quiet Place or something. So
I was like, another New Year's resolution down the drain.
Yeah. So now we're at the party and Katie shows up like truly dressed like a savage of some sort. Not a savage, but like a she just looked
she's
like
Ned
a barbarian.
Stark. She looks like Ned Stark. She's wearing
She did like not a, look like Ned Stark.
Just because he wears that big black coat.
But she had these crazy
Well, I guess
like
Jon Snow does, too. She has that, like, Jon Snow coat.
It was very North of the Wall. It was very much like,
oh, you think you're better than us because you're south of the wall, don't you? I was like, Katie, stop. Stop yelling at me about your north of the wall life, okay? I know you're yelling at me with your eyes right now. I don't appreciate it, okay? Just get on board and help us kill the White Walkers.
Yeah.
So,
and then Tom number two is Peter Pan for some reason.
Yeah. He's like, Baba. I think he was supposed to, he kept on saying he was a bath salts elf.
Yeah, it's like, Peter Pan. Okay.
Yeah, Peter
you
Pan.
You can call it whatever you want, Sandy Duncan. You're Peter Pan. And he's yeah. like, what if we conceived a baby dressed in these?
He was really turned on by her north of the wall look.
Yeah.
What do they call those people? The
wildlings.
Wildlings.
Well, yeah, there were wildlings.
Look how rude I am to the wildlings. Those people.
Those people. Those wildlings in Hollywood.
Yeah.
So Sheena gets there. It's like, ha! And she's just basically a hipster.
Yeah.
With white
she's
lips.
Just like a blonde wig and a spray tan. And then Billy Lee shows up. Billy Lee showed up looking like a publicist. Like she was going to be directing traffic on a red carpet, you know?
I'm trying to see what happens here. Let's see. Okay.
Not much.
Yeah. Stassi's mom, it looks like she's going to be a nightmare this year, which I love.
Yeah.
Because that's always good. Been bubbling under the surface.
She's wearing a dog blanket, apparently.
Yeah. Tom and Dorit hair, I wrote. Tom has like a tin foil. It's like someone's trying to take Tom home to go.
Yeah. He basically like made some popcorn and then used the leftovers for his wig.
Yeah. He's like Jiffy Pop.
Jiffy Pop. Yeah. So then Stassi and Ariana make their big appearances, and then there's like it's just like sort of like antics. Like Stassi gets to do her butt shot again that she didn't get to do last year and stuff. I just wrote down, I don't understand this.
I don't understand who Tom's friends with that every year he has something based around a headpiece.
Yeah. He loves that. Like, so he loves the contact moment. Yeah.
Yeah.
And that.
I'm the Duke of the North. So let's see. Butt shots. But, okay. So then we get Sheena sees Stassi and Ariana like hugging each other and screaming, it's our fucking birthday. And she's like, never in my life did I think Ariana Maddox would be this and a Stassi Schroeder. Fucking where?
I go off to Marina Del Rey for like literally one day and I come back and everything has changed. What happens? Is it true that like crossing the 405 sends you into a different sort of multiverse? Oh my god, into the Sheenaverse.
Did you hear how Britney entered? She's like, ha! It's like, whoa, is it contagious? It's like that Sheena high contagious. So Raquel arrives and Silva, and Jax is talking to Lala, and he's like, oh, your bestie's here to see if you want to have tea tomorrow. So gross. And by the way, who is Lala? Lala screamed at her and called her a twat last week and then said, my dad is dead, and walked away. You know, Lala is really pushing it with me this season.
Yeah, I think I liked Lala more as an underdog.
Yeah, me too. So Kristen's like, Raquel is here, and I want to bring her. Oh, welcome drink. And
hospitality at its finest.
Yeah.
Kristen's going to get in touch with her waitressing skills from yore.
Yeah, just to go throw some salt in the wound.
Yeah.
And she's like, I mean, I don't like Raquel, but the thought of James Kennedy at home alone with FOMO like that.
And then we have like a perfectly Vanderpump Rules moment. Like these are the moments that we live for with this show, because we see why Raquel has been late, and she's just talking to someone. She's like, yeah, I was hosting this grand opening at the Topanga Canyon Mall, so.
I finished early, so here I am.
My back really hurts. I've been sitting in a Sharper Image chair for hours.
So Kristen takes a drink to Raquel, and she's like, is there anything in this? She's like, I wouldn't roofie you. She goes, no, I mean, like, is there anything in this? What is this? Is this cake?
Is this what an ice cream scoop looks like? I never know. I never got to have mine.
So then Stassi's over there flirting with Bo awkwardly. She's like, oh, God, Bo, that outfit. He looks like someone you'd fish with, except he's lit up. Honey, you need a light down there on your package. Yeah, I bet it could hang off there. Yeah. It's like awkward.
Raquel just comes by and is like, yeah, if you want another light, they actually have a wonderful selection at Sears now available at the Topanga Canyon Mall.
He's like, this is awkward, and I just ate a steak out of a stand mixer. So,
so now Tom pulls, Jax pulls Tom aside. He's like, hey, bro, I hear you're talking negatively about my relationship. And Tom's like,
no, Jax. It's just everything that happened with your dad.
Like, everything, he died.
Everything that happened with your dad. I was just concerned that it's like a catalyst, you know? And, like, would you still be doing this if your dad was alive, you know?
Well, I'm a dog person, so I don't understand what a catalyst has anything to do. I don't need a cat list. We're not in the market for a cat.
And then Tom tells us,
Jax is a recovering sociopath, okay? I just wanted to make sure he's not, like, you know, getting all excited and then he's just going to blow it off like he does everything else. Yes, he is going to do that. And sociopaths don't recover.
Yeah, exactly. It's not a disease. It's just the way you are. So Jax is like, you know, what you and Ariana go through, I would never impose myself. I would never gossip to Brittany about that sort of stuff. And then they cut to a shady, shady flashback 4 hours earlier. Jax doing exactly what he said he wouldn't do.
Yeah, and he's like, dude, my grandparents have never gotten divorced. My grandparents didn't get divorced. My great-grandparents didn't get divorced, so I don't want to get divorced. I was like, did any of them steal from the sunglass hat?
I was just about to say that.
You know, did any of them bone Faith in front of a 90-year-old woman in hospice care or whatever the fuck that was? I mean, come on now.
Did any of them try to start a chunky sweater line? I don't think so.
Yeah. And he's like, oh, look, Tom, just trying to do the right thing. This is me doing the right thing. And he goes, unlike Tom, I would be happy for him if he got married. But, I mean, that's not going to happen.
So then we see Stassi's, like, there's, like, some weird, like, ice luge thing. But, like, they're sending some bloody drink down it. And they have to get in garbage bags. And there's just, like, this weird, pitiful moment where Stassi is, like, drinking the blood from the luge and it, like, is dribbling down her mouth. And she sort of, like, quietly just goes, it's my fucking birthday. It's like, that's the sound of youth going away right there.
Yeah, because they were water torturing her. They were giving her the waterboarding thing. They wouldn't stop pouring it down.
Probably at her request. She's like, this is all I want right now is to be waterboarded.
Yeah. All I want for my 30th birthday is to be waterboarded, like a literal terrorist.
Waterboard AF.
So the girls are talking, and Raquel's like, it's really weird here without James. But I heard that Katie didn't want him here. And Ariana's like, and Brittany, because, you know, it's the things he did. Like, I would love for him to be here. I wouldn't.
I thought that was funny.
Yeah, but he hasn't had one drink, Stassi. And she goes, oh, yeah, well, it's easy to quit drinking when nobody wants you around. Like, well, Jax is still drinking.
Yeah, that's true too. And then Kristen busts in out of nowhere. It's like sort of like doing her weird like Kristen Hula dance, and she's like, "He hasn't drunk in a week and a half. Thank God for that." She goes off in like one woman conga line,
and her eyes are dimes. By the way, they're black dimes. They're big button eyes from Coraline. And Raquel's,
you guys,
like,
want him to fail, just like the Cinnabon that just closed at the Topanga Canyon Mall, located in Topanga, California.
Foot Locker. Okay, what were you saying? If anybody body shames my best friend, of course I want him to fail. What if he did that to your best friend? And she's like, Winnie the Pooh? No one would ever do that to Winnie the Pooh.
Okay, Raquel, here's the scoop on James. Really? Oh, I forgot. Trigger word.
So come on, Raquel, just add it up. She's like, oh, how dare you? Multiplication tables. So Raquel's like, Stassi, do not call me stupid. And she goes, okay, look, I totally get you because I was in my 20s yesterday, okay? And I understand why you believe in horrible men.
Look, I've actually dated so many horrible men. Roll the flashbacks. And we just see, like, Stassi's greatest hits. It's just Frank, Jax, Patrick, Osama bin Laden, like all of them, you know? Osama bin Laden's like, you know what? Stassi is really too much work. I'm giving myself up.
Yeah.
So
Kevin Spacey's like waiting in the back.
Harvey Weinstein's like, I'm going to do a pass on this one. So then I also like Stassi saying to Raquel, she goes, Raquel, you deserve so much more than someone who is like a legitimate piece of shit. And Raquel goes, he's not always a piece of shit. I'm like, that should be in your wedding vows.
Yeah.
Thank you for not always being a piece of shit.
I vow to not always be a piece of shit.
That is so romantic.
So then Stassi just has this cheesy moment where she sees Bo and she's like, I love you so much. And he's like, I know, which that's, I'm sure, the response every woman wants to hear.
Yeah, on their birthday. So she goes down to bed early.
It's like at 2 a.m. It's early for that sort of party, yeah.
And she's taking off her makeup and she's like, oh my God, I'm Ariana. What happened to me?
Why is Lily Tomlin's face in the mirror?
So Bo is upstairs like playing Ice Luge or whatever the hell the guys are doing upstairs. And then Stassi just loses it. The music starts playing. It's like dun 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 dun. She's like, I just want him to be in bed with me at the end of the night because I need to know everything's all right. And so she's texting him and voicemailing him. And she's like, I've been texting you and I know that you've read them. I know that you have.
I'm like, Stassi, he's upstairs. Just go upstairs and have a tantrum up there because everyone's expecting it, really.
And then she leaves him a message. She goes, you are like literally ignoring me. Okay.
Being left, it like kills me. It like really, really kills me. I'm like, I think actually you left him because you guys were both upstairs and you went downstairs.
Yeah. And then that's it. And also your mother sexually harassed him tonight. So I think you need to give him a little break.
And then she just slams her phone down on the floor, which is real phone privilege, by the way.
Yeah, that is some definite end of my phone contract privilege right there.
I feel so good. I feel really happy that I've shamed Stassi for the you left me semantics and the phone privilege. I feel like I really ended this recap on a good note.
Well, I'm glad I got to call Katie Ned Stark. I mean, I did kind of make her a hero, but it made me feel good at the end of the day.
She was, you know what? She was more like, not Ned Stark, but
no,
she was
don't
more
take
like,
away. I said that we gave me joy and you're going to take it away at the end of this recap. Damn you.
I was going to say that she was part of that, the Boltons. Because they're also furry. They also wear furry. Ned Stark. I'll let you have Ned Stark.
Yeah, let me have him because I don't want to say what happens to him, but it's fun for those of you who haven't seen it. Okay, everybody, thank you so much for joining us for another episode. Go get your tickets for our live shows February 8th in Dallas, then Vancouver for the Just for Laughs Comedy Festival, also in February. Then we're off to Boston and also Irvine and our new show in Portland. So go get your tickets. We love you. We will talk to you tomorrow.
Bye, everyone. Bye.
Don't miss Mary, Queen of Scots, the perfect story for our times, starring Academy Award nominee Saoirse Ronan.
Your queen is in Scotland now.
And Academy Award nominee Margot Robbie.
Queen Elizabeth, your cousin Mary has returned to rule.
She has a claim on your crown.
You would have me depose the sister monarch.
Critics are calling it thrilling, stunning, 5 stars.
If you murder me, you murder your sister.
Mary, Queen of Scots, in cinemas January 18th.